The episode you're about to listen to is a special edition of The Startup Show, recorded during Grit Daily's live event at South by Southwest. Here we have an expansive range of topics and featured experts from various industries. Enjoy.
Okay, welcome to the Grit Daily House. You catch us here at 10 a.m. on day two of the festival at South by Southwest. I am Ollie Lewis. I'm CEO and founder of The Fifth Agency. We're based in London and Los Angeles. We're a global influence agency, so we're the experts in social creative, influence marketing and culture, and really help our clients to hone their cultural fluency and connect in ways and build communities on social like nothing ever before. And we want to talk to you today. I'm joined by Charles Ifegru, who's our managing director here in the States, out of Los Angeles. We want to talk a little bit about a paradigm that we are seeing across creative and more broadly across social media, and the way in which we believe our clients should be thinking in 2024 and beyond. But first, quick session icebreaker, Charles. How are you finding the festival so far? Tell us a bit about the vibe.
Yeah, so South By is always and has always been my favorite of the cultural moments over the course of the year. And this year is no different. We've been here a couple of days, and the vibes are immaculate, as the kids say. So, yeah, super excited to be here and super excited to have this conversation.
It is, isn't it, really? And as a Brit and only my second year at South By, I am struck almost immediately again by just the vibe. It's so inclusive, so friendly, so welcoming. What do you want to get out of the next few days? What's your kind of, what's top of your agenda, either to see, meet, or listen?
Yeah, so I think part of why we're here is to talk about one of the things that I'm really interested in doing, which is this idea of what best practice social marketing looks like in 2024. As somebody who's been coming here for the better part of the last decade, you know, we've seen social really take its roots in terms of the level of importance and prioritization it has for brands. So every year I'm here, it's what are we doing on social? How are we showing up? And, you know, I think our team, frankly, has some really great outlooks, methodologies around that. So having those conversations, I think for me, just always showing up here and having, you know, having the conversations, I think this is a great launch pad for a lot of things that happen over the course of the rest of the year. And again, you know, this year is no different. So that's really my main priority. But there's also the mixers, the events, the, you know, all the things, and that stuff is fun too. And I'd be remiss if I didn't say South by Southwest is a hell of a good time. So,
yeah, I don't know what you mean. So the massive. I have to touch on this, and we can talk a little bit more about Social Owl and this the philosophy that, to be honest, has been coined here in the States and has become a real global mantra for our agency. You were recently featured in Forbes. Would you give us just a quick sort of top down explanation of what Social Owl is, why it isn't, and most importantly, not social first?
Yeah, so let's work backwards, right? Social first, I think, is nomenclature that's pretty rooted in marketing dialogue at this point. But over the years, I think it's taken a bit of a pejorative tone in you know, marketing and agency conversations, because what it's come to mean is you're creating versions of something else for social, or you are purposely building something that's intended to live just on social. And that's not what we believe. I don't think that's how brand marketing really works in this day and age. It's certainly not what the punchy, powerful brands that are growing organically are doing. And where Social Out delineates from social first is that every intent in your marketing communications is that social is going to touch and impact all channels that you're activating on. So you'd be hard pressed to say we'll reach a full level of efficacy in anything we're doing unless we consider and plan for social. But it also takes into account that social is the key culture driver in 2024, and that'll be the case moving forward, especially as the younger audiences become, you know, your key buying demographic. So social culture permeates all other channels. So ultimately, you need to make sure that you're aware of that, that you're building around that, that your strategies and executional layouts take that into account. So as an agency, that's what we're doing, whether it's being influential as a brand in the social content you're creating, whether it's building a social community. So when you activate somewhere else, whether it's experiential, out of home, digital, broadcast, you can get that social community amplification because you've really intentionally built there. Those are the things that we're really focused on doing, influencers and the third party validation that they bring to the table also allows for real flexibility in terms of where your message can go and how far it can carry forward. So all of those things are part of this social out methodology and mantra. And it really just aligns with what is best practice social and brand marketing in this day and age, because I do think the agency ecosystem is always slow to catch up to that next new thing. And we're trying to be a little bit ahead of that next new, you know, frontier in brand marketing.
Just, I mean, practically speaking, what are we saying to brands and clients in the way that they need to think differently in this space? I mean, we always talk about the juxtaposition between creating a highly polished, highly produced, and frankly quite expensive creative and an ad for TV that ultimately is tested by its virality on social. So what are we asking? How are we thinking about the world, and how are we asking clients to think differently in this respect? Is it literally as simple as inverting the investment funnel and thinking about investing into social and then thinking how that permeates onto other channels?
Yeah, I think investment is a big part of the conversation. It's always a key part of the conversation. And it's the most difficult part of the conversation, right? It's very difficult, and this has happened a few times in the digital age where a new channel has been a place where culture is being shaped, a place where there's impact, certainly in terms of awareness, and then through funnel. But the investment into those channels has been slow moving in terms of how the brands, how the agencies are getting there. And what we're arguing is not that there needs to be a complete, construct flip in terms of the investment, but there should certainly be more investment, because social consistently gets the least of what I call the three B's. That's your budgets, that's your bodies you're throwing at it, and the bandwidth that you allocate towards it. And there certainly does need to be a reformatting in what the investment looks like there. Functionally, what we're telling brands they should do to permeate culture, to build community, to do all these things that are exponential multipliers of your marketing efforts is a consideration. How are we considering, what's happening across channels and understanding that social is something that drives, drives impact across those channels. B, from a content standpoint, really focusing on making content that absolutely embeds you into social conversations. But if that's 1A, 1B, it's building community that will allow you to have a long tail effect. And then C, it's simply not doing things in a way that are not effective in terms of how current marketing is driven. And I think you look no further than some of the big advertising moments, certainly in this country, whether it be the Super Bowl or anything else. You watch a lot of those spots, and much of the source material is cribbed from things that happen on social, whether it's the ha-has or the touching moments and things like that. And it just speaks to, I think, where things are going, right? You're doing that because there's already been a validation from an audience, from a community there, so you can build around it, right? You know that once you show that spot, you have to track back to social, and you want a conversation started there. So I think it begs the question, why is it getting the least of the three B's, your budgets, your bodies, your bandwidth, with that as a reality? And that's really what we're trying to shift the perception. And then I think investment comes after that.
Yes, great. I mean, the touch on the Super Bowl briefly. What was your take? You're right in terms of at least the strategy and the thinking that came into the creation of those ads. But do you think they went far enough? Do you think the content stands up? Do you think as a whole creatively this year moved the space on? Or was it same of the same, potentially still lazy?
Yeah, I think there was certainly progress. It was really interesting to see the Super Bowl in Las Vegas this year, because a lot of the brands that were running the big spots also had experiences in Vegas. Just about all of those were driven towards social. Like, this has to show up on social. It'll be our lead in into our big spot. And then many of them even activated shortly thereafter to really carry that message through. And I think when we talk about, you know, full funnel marketing, when we talk about transmedia, when we use these words that all really mean, like, we need to take into account the customer journey and how we're reaching our consumers and our audiences throughout their buying journey. That is what social allows you to do, right? You can introduce a thing, you can build the community, you can amplify the thing, you can get third-party validation, you can create content that's sourced from influencers who become both production but also distribution for you. So there's a lot of impact that comes from that channel that just begs the question again, why is it being deprioritized across many major advertisers, not just here in America, but across the globe. So that will change, though. Again, I think we've seen that change happen across a few different times in the last 10 years, whether it was a shift over to, you know, social paid media, whether we saw the, you know, retraction from investment in print and going to digital. So social, especially as these younger audiences become, you know, those key buying demographics, is going to continue to, you know, lead the day in terms of storytelling, messaging, and conversion for the brands that are interested in that.
It strikes me, if you could call out one brand that you think won the Super Bowl, and I'll jump the question. Well, because it struck me, and I'm keen to know whether you believe that was someone that actually paid the millions for the halftime spot, or actually it was an experiential digital out of home that frankly garnered millions of eyeballs globally. Through social, right? Because the virality of that, some of that content, like Doritos, for example, is that a perfect encapsulation of what we're talking about here? You know, the idea that actually you're creating something that was very much driven to create social hype and social awareness and reach off the back of that, as opposed to very expensive TV ad creative that ran in linear TV.
Yeah, I'd actually ask what you thought of that. I think it's interesting getting the perspective from somebody, you know,
maybe, as a Brit, right?
Yeah. Viewing it from London. Because being on the ground in Vegas, I think there were a lot of brands that did a lot of things very right that carried over onto broadcast. But I'd be curious.
I think for someone that wasn't in Vegas and being and experiencing it the way that most people would have, which is dual screening, right? I mean, you were mobile and I was watching it live on TV. The impact from a brand perspective came through on social.
Yeah.
Right? And not actually the halftime show. I went and got a coffee. So it was late, bear in mind.
Although a lot of people excited to see Usher.
To be fair. Yeah, but
I think he did make an impact as well. But
Maybe he won. I mean, actually, that was pervasive enough. But from an advertising perspective, how did you experience it?
So you talked about Doritos, right? Like, yeah. They always run a really punchy spot during Super Bowl. I thought it was really cool to see them out. So they took over the Luxor. The entire Luxor building was a big Dorito chip, and it was very social. A lot of people taking pictures, sharing pictures. And I think anything that drives audience and community participation in social, often we call it UGC, is where brands should be looking to really drive their investment, right? Because it can't be undersold. The value of your community creating content that's usable for you as a brand, and your community can absolutely include influencers, but I think the key to a great influencer campaign, right, is what audience engagement. So if you can do things that cause the audiences that are now your audiences, that's why you go get an influencer to also participate or feel, you know, included in the conversation. Like, that's where you win as a brand. And I think social gives you a very powerful tool to do that. And this is cross-platform. So depending on your audience, Instagram might be the platform. Snap could be the platform. TikTok is certainly making all the waves in terms of driving that type of discourse. But as a brand, I think that's where this social out, you know, mantra needs to start tying into how brands are executing, right? Like, how are we actually engaging on social, on the front end, to build the community that'll give us that long tail exponential effect? So anything we do, it feels participatory and we can drive audience engagement, user-generated content, things that we can repurpose that ultimately will perform a lot better than the millions we're spending on some of these big brand spots.
That's great. I mean, can you, as a sort of yes, no answer, and then maybe we can build on it together, but do you believe that in 2024 and beyond, you can't have a social campaign without having a role for creators within it, either that's through amplification, or frankly, to start and move the trend forward. Do you see those two now into those two worlds now so intrinsically linked that potentially it brings the agency worlds together from a traditional social space as well as a traditional creative and therefore creator? Are they now coming together and so intrinsically linked that actually that it, almost every conversation should start with what's the role for creators?
So I'd answer that by asking a question, a rhetorical one, which is, why wouldn't you incorporate them, right?
Yeah.
You know, the idea of, and we talk about this a lot with brand partners who are trying to quantify the effectiveness of influencer marketing and looking at it as a media measurement, right? Looking at it as, okay, we have a CPM of X over here. Influencer gives us a CPM of Y over here. But one of the things that's not calculated into that math is you are getting, the value is production plus distribution plus third-party validation plus repurposed content that will perform better than some of the other places that you're producing that content. And that is a fact at this point. There's very few brands that, if they get a great, you know, ambassador or influencer piece of content, as they use that out in the world, it doesn't perform better than most of the other things they're doing. So the question really is, why wouldn't you incorporate the influencer? And the answer is obviously, well, there's no good reason, right? So yes, I think every social campaign, if you're actually pushing out a campaign and it's purposeful for the brand, should incorporate influencers in all their manifestations. Sometimes it makes a lot of sense to go the nano route because you're looking for, you know, volume and you really want to show up, you know, within sub-niche communities, which is great. Sometimes it makes sense to go the ambassador route and, you know, you just have this person who's so well aligned with your brand that has this huge audience that you want to push it through that way. But absolutely, I think social, every social team, every agency, much less social agencies, should really be looking to incorporate influencers core to their strategy.
If there's one, though, if there's one barrier to why investment hasn't really reached that tipping point for creators to be considered, I think certainly integrated, but integral, would it be measurement and therefore the opportunity, but also potentially right now, the barrier to that is not having a full and clearer picture of how every dollar impacts an outcome. I mean, where do you think the space is going in that regard for us? I mean, we're spending a huge amount of time, as I think a lot of the people in the influencer and creator space are, to try and move beyond vanity metrics, to try and move beyond reach and engagement as anything other than a baseline and proxy for your first measure, for you to be able to benchmark some effectiveness. What do we need to do? And how close are we to being able to solve that, do you think?
So it's the multi-billion dollar question, right? Like, why social versus some of the more measurable platforms? We're getting closer. A lot of great tools out there to start getting past vanity into actual impact. I think there's still some work to be done there. I think before we get to the finish line, it's asking the right questions of how do we measure what's important, right? And I think what that means is there is that baked-in additional value that you get in the social, especially influencer space, from great content made by influential people and personalities on social platforms. And we really need to find a way to quantify what that means. So it's not, like, a media measurement is not always apples to apples when you're talking about two different channels, right? So people who understand the space really getting together to figure out how we measure the things that brands, because there does need to be a shift in investment, going back to your first question, but it's very hard to justify unless you have the right tools to go into, you know, the CMO, CFO, CEO's office and say, hey, like, this is the impact that we're actually making. So we're getting closer. You can probably speak to this being the CEO of our agency, Ali, but it's something that we're spending a lot of time, a lot of investment in making sure we get right, because ultimately, if we're going to drive the space forward and have the right conversations, you need to have the right data.
I think I heard it twice yesterday. Oh God, if only we had an MM model for influencer marketing, right? And we're like, okay, well then that's exactly what we need. I mean, ultimately, I think in terms of being able to benchmark the effectiveness against TV, only then really are we going to be able to see the shift in investment that we're talking about. And I think the shift in investment isn't just about feeding our part of the ecosystem. It's about what's necessary and what's needed, I think, to move the whole creative space forward. And there's potentially too much fear, certainly at a CEO level, to invest across some pretty big categories in the market without having that in place and without being able to prove the effectiveness at a level that is understood and accepted. So yeah, look at that. It's the silver bullet. You said it's the $1 million question. I think we look at the fifth, we're going to solve it, right? And we're going to solve it sooner rather than later. But I think you've made the really important point is that you can't really solve it in isolation. All ships rise. If we're going to make a genuine shift in the industry, we need everybody around the table because you need standardization of metrics. There's no point doing this in your own glass ball. So I think that's the next step. And then we bring the big players around the table. We do that through some of the, certainly globally, we need to open up that conversation, but we can start in one, certainly in the UK market and move from there. But
really quickly, because I do think it's important to note, it is a difficult thing to sell in without the right data.
Yeah.
But you also have that one instance, and every brand has it, where something popped and worked really well for them on social. And the executives always will be like, can we do that again? Like we caught lightning in a bottle. How do we do that again? Whether there was data to measure it or not, you can just see the impact, right? So as much as we can mesh and meld that with the actual data, yeah, I think there'll be genuine buy-in once those two things live together.
I think that's a great way to segue into the sort of wrap up question. I think we're coming into time, but if you could leave our business audience today with one tip, one thing to apply, one thing to remember and move forward, what would that be?
Yeah, I think my friend AK, who's the CMO over at Beyond Meat, gave a great insight yesterday in one of his talks that I think should be the North Star for any brand looking to be more impactful and influential on social. And it's get out of the way sometimes, right? Like get people who are familiar with and know how to action strategies on social and, you know, to take another word from the kids, let them cook, right? Like let them do their thing. And unless you're willing to do that as a brand, you're going to find it very difficult to actually progress at the speed of social. And I think it is the biggest takeaway I'm trying to leave people with at the end of my South By experience. It's this needs to be taken seriously. The three B's need to be addressed and, you know, get folks who are familiar and know how to do the thing and let them cook. So that's what I would say.
Let them cook. You heard it here. I love that, Charles. thank you to Grit Daily for having us today. This has been fun. And Charles, thank you for so much insight. Everybody, I hope you enjoyed South By. If you're listening to this and you're here, we'll catch you soon.
Yep. Thank you.